Today on This Week in Iowa, Des Moines City Council elections are fast approaching, and we begin by exploring Ward 1, three candidates, two interviews, the important issues voters take with them to the polls. Good morning, everyone, and thank you so much for being with us here on This Week in Iowa. I'm Sabrina Ahmed. After more than a year-long pause of this community program, I am so excited that we are back, and we are here to bring you, just in time, a deep dive into the upcoming election. City councils and school boards are on the ballot this November, of course, including Des Moines City Council. I'll step out of the way so you can see wards 1, 3, and the at-large seat. They're all up for grabs. And this morning, we're taking a deep dive into Ward 3. So you see three candidates here. Bill Gray is the incumbent. Marcus Kanan is a challenger. And then Indira Schumacher. Now, this morning, you'll only hear from two candidates, Bill Gray and the challenger, Marcus Kanan. We reached out to Indira Schumacher to set up multiple interviews. She did not show up to our scheduled interviews on two different occasions. So let's get to it. Let's get to the candidates. First, a little history on Bill Gray. He was born and raised in Des Moines. He's a graduate of Dowling Catholic and the University of Iowa. He worked in the telecommunications industry at Northwestern Bell and AT&T. He and his wife Ann live in Beaverdale. They have four kids and seven grandchildren. Let's get to know Bill Gray. What would you say are your biggest accomplishments and some things that you think still need to get done that you think you can do?
You're thinking along the same lines that I was saying. One of the things Chris Coleman commented on, 3 months into my term, we got the Beaverdale streetscape put together, which really changed the shape and face of the Beaverdale Business District. And Coleman leaned over and says, Gray, how did you do it? He says, you're in here 3 months? I've been working on it for 10 years. So getting that done was a big accomplishment. Sixth Avenue Corridors is still another one that I'm enjoying working on. We should be finishing up phase two of that by November of this year. We're getting on the Douglas Avenue Corridor, complete resurfacing and restriping from Merle Hay Road down to Lower Beaver Road. That's another big accomplishment for me. And then I think the highlight is probably the flood mitigation that we've done. To get flood mitigation moving the right direction are fantastic things that I've gotten done so far. And don't forget our park system. You know, the one thing that keeps people in neighborhoods is the amenity of a park. When you look around in Ward 1 to see the kind of things that are the amenities that want to keep people staying in neighborhoods or even being a magnet to bring them in, parks are a very important part of the plan. So those are the things I've gotten accomplished so far, and it really makes me very proud that that's what I ran on in the first time, and to keep getting these things done just really puts a smile on my face. Now for future things, I want to keep the flood mitigation process going. We're going to do a reconstruction in 2 years of Second Avenue. And we're working with all of our partners. We're working on urban renewal plans. We've got some set up for along the Douglas Avenue corridor, build a community that is going to rally around this and make this something that we can go forward with for the next 20, 30, 40, 50 years. We're looking also at doing things along that corridor from Douglas Avenue to Hickman on Merle Hay. That's kind of long since been neglected, and we're going to have some meetings to talk about what can we do to improve that corridor, bring businesses in, retain the businesses that are there, and you know, just get the thing going so it invigorates. And the biggest thing I think we got going is the Merle Hay Mall renovation.
We have much more to come with Bill Gray on the issues in just a few minutes. But first, we will meet his challenger and get to know Marcus Kanan. That's coming up next on Good Morning Iowa This Week in Iowa. Backstory for you now on Marcus Kanan. He's from Creston, Iowa. He and his family live in Beaverdale. He's lived all over the country and the world as a transportation planner, but now calls Des Moines home. He is the current resident of Beaverdale and the president of the Beaverdale Neighborhood Association. This morning, we get to know Marcus Kanan.
I'm an urban planner by background, focusing on transportation planning. My wife and I moved into the Beaverdale neighborhood. Really fell in love with the neighborhood and the city.
It is
the best. And, you know, got involved very quickly with the Beaverdale Neighborhood Association and really fell in love with the idea of serving neighbors and really pushing our city to be better. Like you mentioned, recently had a had a baby last year. She turns one this week, so that's exciting. So having that new experience of being a father and you know that mindset now, and what can the future bring for our city and the city that she'll grow up in is important to me.
Marcus, why did you decide to run for city council?
Sure. So there are several projects that have been brought forward over the last year that I've spoken out against or four different elements of it that I think that city council really wasn't listening to neighbors on and was pushing ideas that were kind of antiquated, old, wouldn't help the city move forward. So I really want to focus on bringing good ideas to city council and pushing for a future that makes our city better.
Give me some examples. What are those projects?
Sure. So one thing that I'd really like to focus on is creating safer streets, making sure that our speed limits and the street design really support streets that work for all ages, children. We want sidewalks that they can walk on to schools. We want sidewalks that older individuals who are retiring and want to live in their homes can go out and enjoy evening strolls. We want to focus on really cutting back on ordinances that are used for ticky-tacky violations. When we start thinking about stronger neighborhoods idea, I'd really like to bring in the neighborhoods into the decision-making process and allow them to bring forward ideas for projects that they want to see in their neighborhoods. One of my other ideas is to take an overhaul of the city budget and really make sure that when you look at our city budget, it doesn't just show you the dollar amounts we're spending in each department. It shows you how those dollars, our tax dollars, are being used to achieve our city's goals. And that's key to me, is using that data so that I can go out and talk to residents, or residents can come to me and say, I think this money is being spent in one way, but if we spend it this way or in another way, we could achieve more for our city. I think the other thing that I would like to do, thinking around sustainability, would be to focus on electric vehicle charging stations, because as a transportation planner, as an urban professional, electric vehicles are coming in the near future, and having the infrastructure in place now will only encourage individuals to utilize that.
You'll hear more from Marcus Kanin here in just a little bit. We'll dive into the issues with Bill Gray next on This Week in Iowa. Now to more issues this morning with incumbent Bill Gray. And we start by discussing city funds, police, and mental health. Take a listen.
This morning I had a public safety meeting with the Riverbend Neighborhood Association residents. And that's exactly what we're talking about. We're not talking about diverting money, we're talking about increasing money to do things that we haven't done before. For example, there's a gentleman that runs up and down 6th and 7th Avenue naked. Well, I mean, what purpose are you going to get by sending a policeman out there, a full uniform with a gun on his side, and the guy's got some issues mentally that we're going to need to take care of. We need to beef up our mental crisis unit. Let's bring in the mental health professionals and get them some service. Get them over to Broadlines. Maybe get them over to the VA, depending on what backgrounds they've got. Rather than arrest these people and put them in jail, that does no good. We need to get some mental health professionals, and that's why I think we need to get some more money put that way, and that's part of the local option sales tax, was to we put $400,000 into mental health issues. We should put more.
How do you make it so that people can have access to, in their neighborhood, fresh produce and fresh food, healthy food options that they can afford?
It's a tough question to try and have a good answer. I've worked with Monica Oslowski. Bless her heart, she's out there working hard all the time. She's doing the right kind of thing for feeding the community. And we want to keep working with people like that. I'm also working with the Forest Avenue Outreach. They have land there that they purchased on Forest Avenue, and I'm working with them to try and get water to their location. Everybody that's out there trying to do a little bit to help the community, we have to make sure we're partnering with them.
What about grocery store access? There are areas of the city that are with miles without a grocery store.
Yes, I know. And you know, we're kind of in my Beaverdale neighborhood, we have a little bit of issues there. We can incent grocers to locate, but it's really, for them, it's a profit loss type of deal. It's tough to say, here, put this in my neighborhood and we'll give you $100,000. A lot of times that doesn't work. And quite honestly, grocers operate on a margin of 1-3%. So it's got to be moving. It just can't be sitting there stale. So tough question. I'd love to see if we could come up with something that incents a grocer to go to a certain place.
Drinking water has also been a huge issue in our city. Of course, there's Des Moines Water Works. It's a bigger issue than Des Moines, but what can the city council do? Do you think wells are the option, or wells are the right option? You know, what is the answer here?
Yeah, I can speak a little bit from experience. You know, my wife's from a little town of Early, just south of Storm Lake. And they own farmland up there. We got married back in 1976. In that time, you know, we still go up there once or twice a year, and every time, you know, I like to hunt up there, so I hope nobody gets too excited about that. But you know, I have seen land that we've hunted be tiled off, drained off, farmed extensively. So you're seeing a lot more runoff than I've ever seen in my life, and it's all coming down, in this case, to the Raccoon River, and we've seen the same thing happen on the Des Moines River. You get that confluence down there, the stuff's in pretty bad shape. So we need to get farming practices and cattle practices in place that's going to control that kind of stuff.
What's the balance? Making sure that people can afford to stay in these neighborhoods, making sure there's access to affordable housing, but also making sure that the city has prosperous neighborhoods.
Well, one thing that I'm quite proud of is NFC, Neighborhood Finance Corporation. We fund that to the tune of $1 million each year, and we have partners in our financial institutions that help out. What we have to do is get our properties fixed so that the people are not living with the worried about the roof coming in, the furnace going out, all those things. Those are big issues that we have to do. We want to make sure that takes place. And then the other thing is, I've said this even when I first ran for election back in 2013. You know, affordable housing is not strictly relegated to Des Moines. Let's spread this affordable housing throughout the neighborhoods, throughout the metro. We got such a great community here. I want to make sure that everybody has an equal chance to make a living and grow up and want to stay and live here in Des Moines and Central Iowa.
Any closing thoughts? What do you want the people of Des Moines to know? Why you want to remain as the representative for Ward 1 in City Council?
Well, the thing that I'm most proud of is that I came out here with three incentives. I wanted to make sure we had proper staffing for our fire and police. I wanted to make sure that our parks and recreation areas were staffed and we had capital improvement to get them done. And then infrastructure. It's roads. It's sewer. And I have continued to push that as hard as I can, and I think I have been very successful. So why am I wanting to do it again? There's a few things that I'd like to finish up, and the one thing, you haven't asked me about this yet, and I'm gonna really give you a big talk on this, is the Grubb YMCA. This is such a jewel for the inner part of our city.
We have the full interview with Bill Gray on our website, weareiowa.com. It's under the politics page. You can also find the interviews with everyone running for Des Moines City Council. We'll be right back. We'll hear from his opponent. Let's dive into the issues with Marcus Kanin, and we start with why he decided to run for City Council. Take a listen. There's been an overarching issue in Des Moines for years of population leaving our city and going to our suburbs. Part of that has to do with schools. How do you help the school board and help the school system become better so that people are then incentivized to stay in Des Moines?
Sure. I think it's really an idea of creating a place that everyone wants to be. You know, what are those reasons that are driving individuals to the suburbs? Housing stock, you know, options, more options for housing potentially, you know, better schools. but also what's helping drive those schools are investments in technology, like you mentioned. I think about Waukee and the Apple development that brought in a bunch of money for the schools. So I don't know if it's partnering with the industries that we have in Des Moines to really drive that, similar to what Apple did. Maybe it's working with, you know, Principal Financial Group or, you know, Wells Fargo, Wellmark, any of those key individuals or companies. You know, part of it is creating a place that everyone, that younger individuals want to spend time in. So investing in infrastructure like the water trails will help retain that talent, and creating a place downtown or in our communities that have those connections, individuals will see that there's that investment, and they'll want to stay there. I also think that, you know, the housing stock needs to be supported a little bit more, and projects like InvestESM is a great opportunity where we can continue to invest in our neighborhoods.
You mentioned the 30% budget for the Des Moines Police Department, so I would like to kind of expand on that for a couple minutes. And that, obviously, with all of the protests that happened this summer, that's been there's been a heightened spotlight on that issue. So that brings me to BLM and the council, the concerns that the community members have brought to the city council, whether you agree with their tactics,
sure.
Perhaps the concerns that they've brought, they'll tell you that not enough has been done. Yeah. Do you think more needs to be done?
Yeah, I think more does need to be done. I think that a civilian oversight board makes sense. You know, just thinking about how our city is structured, we have civilian oversight for a number of different programs. We have a planning and zoning commission, which is civilian oversight of the planning process. We have a traffic and safety commission, and that's, you know, civilian oversight of decisions about parking and traffic safety. Why then can we not have a civilian oversight board that says, how are we policing the individuals in our city? How are we enforcing the ordinances and the laws in the city of Des Moines? You know, I'm also, it's not a large point of my vision, but I'm also for, you know, reducing the priority of marijuana enforcement.
What other programs do you think could be added or tweaked to improve crisis management in our city instead of having a police officer respond?
So I think we need to continue our partnerships with and build on our partnerships with Polk County and Broadlands and really focus on, you know, understanding if we're meeting the needs of, you know, our mental health crisis team. You know, I think that's a great program. You know, I've talked to neighbors and sobering centers are an important improvement that can be made. So I think that it comes back to looking at those programs and seeing if we're funding at a level that helps us meet our residents' needs. But without the data on a lot of these issues and collecting that data, sometimes we're not going to know.
Another thing we hear a lot about is food deserts and needing, we were just talking about putting, I won't ask you about it, but a grocery store in the Beaverdale neighborhood. There are pockets of Des Moines that do not have access to fresh food, yep. And to fresh produce and to fresh meat.
Yep.
How do you fix the food insecurity issue in our city?
Yeah, I think that, you know, one way is through targeted investment and in partnerships with, you know, grocery chains to help bring stores into neighborhoods where there is a need. But also, you know, I've been monitoring some developments around urban farming, mm-hmm. in the city of Des Moines. I think that that's great. And I do believe that there needs to be a greater effort from the city in utilizing land that is currently undeveloped to support food production.
In closing, what do you want the people who live in Ward 1, but also all across the city, to know about you?
Sure. You know, I love my neighborhood. I love the city of Des Moines. one of my favorite things to do is to talk to neighbors about city issues. I'm kind of an urban planning nerd because that's what I went into. So if there is an issue that they are passionate about and they want to tell me about, just let me know.
We have the full interview with Marcus Kanin on our website, weareiowa.com. Again, also under the politics page, you can also find everyone who's running for Des Moines City Council's interview on that page as well. We'll be right back. Thank you so much for joining us here for This Week in Iowa. We hope to see you again next Sunday.